Welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Ken Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And you know, here at Advanced Living Radio, we have a theme. We want to bring value to you each and every week to help you improve your life. Now, I put that into what I call a fairly comprehensive form of affirmation or prayer. Each day I say, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yay! Wow! Talk about a biggie. Well, as you know, one step at a time, we can get there as long as we got heading in a good direction. And so we are in for a real treat today. And you know, every week our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, the sponsor is Advanced Living Radio. I invite you to take a look there. When you go there, you'll see an item called the Comfort Technology. We call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. Looks like a stylish little digital clock you'd put on your desk or on your nightstand. And when you plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It harmonizes the energy. It mitigates electropollution. It raises the healing field of energy. And boy, oh boy, is it an easy way to help improve your life and reduce some stress. So check that out at AdvancedLiving.com. And now, you're probably wondering, folks, what do we have in store for you today? Well, let me ask, how many of you have ever had a good idea and run into a lot of adversity trying to move it ahead? Well, do not despair. Have hope, because you know that the United Kingdom, the UK Sunday Times, picked up a story about our guest today, and his picture and the story was on the cover with a headline that said, Bad Luck Chuck Loses 4 Jobs on Wall Street. Well, you're about to get the wisdom of this Bad Luck Chuck who turned adversity into something that is amazing. Yes, you're going to learn how he was able to take this, change direction, and help us in the U.S. to live much healthier while making a significant contribution to one of the poorest countries in the Americas. And today we get to welcome and enjoy listening and visiting with Chuck Cassano. Welcome aboard, Chuck.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Ken. Thanks for the intro. I've never had a nicer intro than that in my life.
Well, it's my pleasure. I have just so thrilled and excited for what you've done, and I know my listeners are going to be not only tantalized by what you're bringing here to the U.S., but the inspiration of the story that you have. And now, we know you ended up, I'll reveal, in Nicaragua, but I would like you to kind of give a little bit of background on how you ended up there and what you went through going from Bad Luck Chuck to into into Chuck. We might call you Saint Chuck of Nicaragua.
Thank you very much. No, it was definitely an interesting route to getting where I was today. I was living in New York City for about six years, just working in sales for IBM for 6 years, and kind of wanted a little switch in life. And, you know, a lot of my friends were in finance, so I wanted to switch over to finance. So the only good way to do that is to do your MBA. So I traveled abroad and did my MBA over in Europe, in Madrid, at a school called Instituto Empresa. And it was a wonderful experience. You had the opportunity to, the student body was about 220 students from 70 different countries. So the exposure and opportunity to work with different cultures is, I don't know any other opportunity in my life where I'll have that kind of, that exposure to all those different types of people and cultures. So it was just an amazing experience. And this is maybe 2006, 2007, and the economy was, you know, booming. Everything was quite amazing. And so my natural progression, I was going to go into investment banking in New York City. Had been interviewing with a number of banks, and I graduated, because the European MBA, you graduate off cycle, so we graduated in December of 2007, and really that was the, like, pretty much the peak of the financial market. Was interviewing with Bear Stearns, and it was, everything looked good, and they actually gave me a job offer, and I was supposed to start with them in April of 2008. Unfortunately, the company didn't last that long, and it went bankrupt.
No.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm in New York City, and pretty much a series of events like this kept happening. You know, that same team from Bear Stearns was going over to Lehman Brothers, and, you know, I was going to be over there, and then Lehman Brothers goes bankrupt, and it was just a really tough time in New York City, not the best time to be having your MBA looking for a job in finance. So just started, you know, really looking for a new mission and looking for something else to do. And the way I did that was just started to talk to all my friends that I graduated with and just see what they were doing and see, you know, opportunities outside of New York. And I had one friend who was working in Nicaragua for a nonprofit company called Agora Partnerships. And what they do is they offer consulting to, you know, socially responsible entrepreneurs. But a socially responsible entrepreneur was basically anybody who, you know, had the hopes to grow their business. And our goal was to grow the private sector a little bit and create jobs, you know, that didn't exist the day before. So it was just a wonder, you know. So she was doing this. There was a scholarship grant available. I applied for the scholarship grant, and literally I was on the next flight down to Nicaragua to get down there and start working for this company. And it was just total eye-opening experience. We worked with so many different types of entrepreneurs, so many different industries, and, you know, nothing that I'd been exposed to previously. And it turns out the one project that I got assigned to, there was one entrepreneur who was exporting plant botanicals to Europe for use in, like, cosmetics and nutraceuticals and stuff like that. And, you know, I really didn't have any industry experience in this industry prior, but, you know, it was just a great way to see something else was going on. And basically I was just supposed to do due diligence on this guy to see if we could help them grow and, you know, maybe bring in some capital to really help them expand. And, you know, it was a great project. And, you know, my job was to just explore Nicaragua as much as humanly possible. I really, you know, went to every corner of that country and met with all these different farmers and, you know, asking them the question, you know, if we do get an order for 20 metric tons of, you know, your crop, you know, could we produce it and send it and, like, you know, logistically get it to Europe? And, you know, it really enabled me to get to know a lot of the Nicaraguans on a, you know, and develop relationships with them and, you know, see a side of them that, you know, a lot of tourists don't get to see, because, you know, these farms are pretty remote, and it's not like you can just go to a restaurant afterwards. You know, most of the time you end up eating dinner with them after work and really getting to know them. So, you know, I had this experience for almost a year, and, you know, my time was ending, and I kind of wanted to put something together to support a lot of the people that I met. And, you know, got to really start thinking, you know, what exists here that doesn't exist in the U.S.? You know, was there any particular crop that, you know, I'd been working with that, you know, that was also marketable and could build something sustainable, you know, here and there? So there's just happened to be one fruit, you know, fruit in particular called pitaya, and started researching the fruit a little more, started researching all its health benefits and everything like that, and, you know, kind of found some good reasons as to why it didn't exist here today. And, you know, from that point on, you know, the health benefits seemed amazing. I thought it was marketable, and now I just had to figure out a way to get it there.
Wow. This is pretty neat. Now, I know for myself, I've been into health for many years, and I mean, there's ACE, there's wolfberry from way far Tibet, there's the mangosteen fruit. I mean, so many things that we're hearing about, and then it's like, okay, now here's this pitaya, P-I-T-A-Y-A, and I'd never heard of that. I'm going, okay, my gosh, I got to know more about this. And, oh, where does it come from? What are some of the health benefits? You've taken something that we don't know about in general and turned it into not only something that is amazing for our health, as I looked at the label and read some stuff, but it's doing some amazing things for the economy down in Nicaragua. So please tell us more about this pitaya.
Yeah, so the pitaya fruit is a pretty cool fruit just from when it's initially born. Starts off as this flower that only blooms at night, grows along a cactus, and it grows pretty quickly. Within 4 or 5 weeks, you get this big, red, juicy fruit, which is probably the size of a softball. You can cut it open really easily, and basically inside it has the consistency of a kiwi. You can eat the seeds like a kiwi. You can digest them. And two of the major reasons why it's a good idea to be eating is, number one, it's very high in fiber. You know, if you were to talk to anybody, maybe you have friends in Central America that have grown up near the fruit, and, you know, I always tell people this story. You know, they might tell you that their mother gave them pitaya when they couldn't go to the bathroom. So it's like mothers have been prescribing it as a body cleanser for, you know, decades, centuries almost. So that's one fruit. When people see it, that's their first reaction, people who know the fruit. The other thing is it's very low on the glycemic index. It's if you go out to maybe the National Diabetes website, type in pitaya, it comes highly recommended by them because it's so low sugar. And that's been great with our products because I think Americans are finally understanding that they've got to start cutting sugar out of their diets. And so we've signed an exclusive deal with Whole Foods right now, and we can say in Whole Foods that we're the lowest sugar juice in the whole store. And that's something, it's something so basic, but it's something that everybody understands and can it resonates with.
Wow.
So those are like the key highlights. It also has, you know, a good amount of antioxidants and a good amount of omega-3s. But, you know, I also think that people get falsely led by a lot of companies thinking that there's this miracle fruit out there. I'm not trying to tell you that this is some miracle fruit, but compared to other fruits and juices, this is a really good alternative.
Wow, that's important. Now, I was trying to recall from looking at one of the labels that I think comes from the juice, it was indicating that this pitaya not only has omega-3s, but also has omega-6 and omega-9 in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct as well.
I mean, because from what I'm understanding, you want to have all of those, and it's like, my gosh, I mean, eggs don't have, I don't believe, 6 or 9 in it, and here's this fruit that is low glycemic index, meaning the body absorbs the sugar slow enough so that a diabetic can eat this stuff and not have to take insulin. Is that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely right.
Wow.
I think what people want to be looking for in their foods is more omega-3s than 6s and 9s. The body can produce its own omega-6s and 9s. So
okay.
You want to be looking for foods that are high in omega-3s.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of good options out there from, you know, fish is always the prime example, and they always, people always use, you know, right, because omega-3s, the highest concentration in your whole body of omega-3s is in your brain and in your heart. So naturally you want to support these two organs or parts of your body more than anything. So the more omega-3s you can feed in there, the more it's going to help you.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. Plus, what a nice thing to say. Pattaya has the omega-3s and tastes better than fish.
Yeah.
That's a bad joke there, but thanks for laughing. Well, this is really exciting. And so how are you bringing Pattaya to us? Do we go in and buy these red leafy-looking softballs and cut them open and eat them, or what do we do?
So there's actually, pattayas have been banned by the Department of Agriculture to be imported because of a fruit fly that grows up on the vine. Actually, as of 2 months ago, they're considering lifting the ban, and we should know in a couple months whether they're going to. So the only way, what we do, since you couldn't import the fresh fruit like that, we've made a juice out of it. And instead of importing the fresh fruit, we have facilities in Nicaragua that really are the heart and soul of this whole project, which is our social mission. We operate out of one of the only solar-powered facilities in all of Nicaragua. And additionally, we only employ single mothers from the community to help process the fruit. And just as a side note, we pay them above minimum wage and contribute to their social security. So, you know, this social mission is like I said, the heart and soul of this. And what goes on at this facility that we have is we basically bring all the fruit in, we clean it, we cut the skins off, and then we put it into one of our like proprietary blending machines, and we freeze it in drums and pails, and then we ship it up to Los Angeles. And that's where we bottle it in, you know, a total clean, FDA-approved facility that produces a lot of the other drinks that you'll find in Whole Foods and a lot of natural food stores as well. We mix some coconut water in there because it's such a good hydrator, and you find a lot of potassium in coconut water, and a little lemon juice as well. So right now we're strictly – we have three products, the juice, and then we also import smoothie packs, which are just the pure fruit that are frozen. And it kind of looks like the size of a Hershey bar, but just pure fruit frozen. And we sell them directly to a lot of smoothie shops and cafes throughout San Diego. And the last product that we have is our dried fruit, which is just the fruit cut, sliced, put in our solar dryer, and package, and we serve in like 1.5-ounce servings.
Ah, wow. Okay, and people wanting to learn about this, do you have a website?
Yeah, you can find information about everything at pattayaplus.com. So it's P like Peter, I-T-A-Y-A, and then plus written out, P-L-U-S.com.
Okay, great. And then the products are available where? From you or Whole Foods, or where's things at currently for people that say, I got to have some of this pattaya?
So we just launched in January, and we did a test market of 20 Whole Foods out in Colorado. So We had, you know, it was a tremendous success for us. Whole Foods is really behind us because of our social mission, you know, how much we work with solar power and the single mothers that we support. So they've really gotten behind the product. So we're in all the Whole Foods in Colorado and all the Whole Foods in Northern California, Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, and we just launched 20 more in Boston, and we should be launching Philadelphia area. There's another 20 Whole Foods there in a couple of weeks. So right now it's you know, the first 5 months have been, you know, really crazy. We never expected the response that we would get right off the bat. It's, you know, people are buying it in stores, and you know we're just getting a good response. So thankfully the pitaya season in Nicaragua is right around the corner, and I'll be spending most of July down there working with the farmers and sourcing as much fruit as possible.
Ah, wow. And now, is this going to be an expanding crop, do you think, down there for those people?
Yeah, so we're working with the producers right now, and we're trying to expand their fields and get more planted just to keep up with demand.
Ah, and what's the supply of single mothers like down there?
Unfortunately, there is a large supply of single mothers down there. Nicaragua was in a civil war basically all throughout the 80s. And, you know, one of the pushes from the government was, you know, you've got to start having as many kids as possible. And it left a lot of single mothers out there. And, you know, it's not a crazy thing to say that there's a few men down there with, you know, 9-10 wives and 50-60 kids. And, you know, it's more often than not.
Wow.
So that's the situation, and that's why we're trying to make a good effort to support these women as well.
Okay, so that's really a huge, huge thing. It's not just, well, there's one or two single mothers down there that you're employing. This is like a catastrophe for Nicaragua.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're currently our facility, we employ about 16 to 20 of them based on, how much producing. We process some other fruits in the facility, but right now we're at 16 to 20, but we just received funding to build another factory, which will start in September or October, and that'll be probably 4 to 5 times bigger, and our goal is to be employing about 80 women at this facility.
Wow.
So we're going to really hopefully make a serious impact on it as well. And, you know, the thinking behind supporting the single mothers is, if you support these women, you create new opportunities for them. They're in turn going to be in a better position to provide for their families, provide nutrition and education for their direct families and the children. And obviously that's the most important part of any community.
Oh, absolutely. To have that stability, and the mother really tends to be the rock of the community. So for her to have her life working and be able to take care of her children and then network with the other families, then you can build a really strong community. Wow. I'm curious also, I don't know if you're doing this yet or not, but as I'm listening to the situation, I'm just wondering, because you're so socially oriented with your mission, I could envision a possibility as things grow, that there would be ability to get funding to coordinate some micro lending for other single women, that because there's obviously more single moms down there than you'd need for your factories, but to be able to have something that could help start a number of little cottage businesses, because I know Whole Foods is big into helping support micro-lending.
Yeah, absolutely. So Whole Foods has this whole separate division called the Whole Planet Foundation, and you know, I'm in touch with them, and we've been working together. They actually support a few of these women in the northern parts of Nicaragua, so they have the microlending set up in Nicaragua, just not in the areas that I'm operating out of. And, you know, I'm in direct contact with them, and we keep the dialogue open, and we're hoping that, you know, something will come from that, you know, probably a year or two down the line.
Ah, wow. This is great. I am so excited for not only what you're doing. I mean, it's socially conscious, it's green. It's going to be helping the communities down there and setting an example for other businesses about being able to do businesses. I can envision you being someone that other companies want to role model as to be a successful businessman and not do the old rape and pillage of old capitalism, but start a conscious capitalism that actually contributes while making a profit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the idea. I mean, I've spent some time working for a nonprofit, and, you know, I think the only way to really make an impact is to build something sustainable with profit, because, you know, you can throw money at things charitably, but it's not going to last. You know, the money's going to run out, and people are going to be back right in the same spot as they were before. So if you can kind of like create an industry and create something new for people to do, that's what it's sustainability is to me.
Yeah. So you're creating a business that is helping the health of Americans in a very unique way, as well as giving a living model of a business that is functional so that the Nicaraguans can take pride in something that they're contributing to. And hopefully that would be setting a model for other businesses that they would be starting to know that they can actually do this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the plan. Everybody needs one example to look at and go from there.
Wow. You could become a national hero in Nicaragua before too long, Chuck. You know, I mean, and well-deserved. Usually heroes are people that, you know, fight great battles, and here you are just building economic stability and doing it sustainably, and to me, that's a new kind of hero. So this is thrilling.
Great. Thanks for all the kind words.
Now, are you, as your company grows, I don't know, are people like investing in stock? Is it privately held? How are you running this?
So it's, you know, fortunately, you know, after my time with the nonprofit, I took my time and, you know, it took about 6 to 7 months to write the business plan and then went out to some angel investors. And I've been really fortunate to have one angel investor who believes in everything that I'm doing and has funded me to this point. Obviously, we're a small private company, but, you know, we're always looking to, you know, we're looking for strategic investors, like somebody who actually believes in what we're doing and, you know, maybe could even help with distribution or had something like that. You know, we've had offers of money to get involved, but we're looking for people who can actually bring more value besides capital. And fortunately, right now, we're in a good spot where we don't need to be raising a lot of capital. We've been able to sell off a lot of our inventory and grow. But, you know, strategic investors, we're always having conversations with.
Ah, okay. Wow. Oh, this is pretty exciting. And I don't know, it's a little hard on the radio to describe, but can you do a little bit more about the kind of the flavor of this drink?
So the drink itself, it's a good reflection of the actual fruit, and the fruit is like this deep red magenta color. So when people see the fruit, they think it's the juice, rather. They think it's going to be like this real super sweet kind of thick thing. And, you know, I think what people like about it is it's not super sweet. It's like kind of like an earthy strawberry or an earthy raspberry, or some people say that it's like a strawberry and wheatgrass mixed together, and, you know, kind of it has that nice earthy natural taste to it. So I think that's, if I were to describe it, that's kind of how I would describe it.
Ah, okay. And it gives us a chance as an American culture where we've been sadly overdosed on sugar to now get to taste something that is, has a sweetness to it, but it's not an overwhelming sweetness from the time I tasted it. It's sweet. There was a little tartness to it, but boy, quite delicious.
Thank you. I did mail you some more, so you should have plenty of stock.
Oh, hooray! This is going to be wonderful, and I'll talk to you later on to see, because I have some people that may be able to help take this to some bigger levels for what you're doing. And do you have any projections where you're going to be like in the next 12 months? You say the season's coming up, and you're opening, you said Boston and then Philadelphia.
So I mean, I think we're really going to try and stay focused on the natural channel and really use Whole Foods as our lead-in with all the different markets. I think Texas will be coming soon, and hopefully the Pacific Northwest. And then, you know, we're really going to focus on some other accounts. We have some contracts with University of Colorado Boulder, University of California San Diego and Santa Barbara, and schools like that. And we're also expanding. We're with an exclusive contract with Whole Foods right now, but we'll probably, hopefully within the Colorado region, be going into Vitamin College and Vitamin Cottage rather, and a few other places. One of our limitations right now is our inventory. Like I said, I didn't know it was going to sell so quickly. And thank God the pitaya season is right around the corner, and we'll be in a position to produce a lot of it and really be in a good position to keep spreading and growing.
Ah, wow. Okay. And then I'm just wondering, in your five-year plan, can you share a little bit of that with our listeners?
So within our five-year plan, we're also have some good goals to expand our social mission. We're working right now with an organization called Build On, which helps build schools in rural areas, you know, all over the world, and they have experience in Nicaragua. And this expansion of the social mission kind of came from, you know, a problem that we had an issue that we're facing with some of our producers of pitaya is, you know, I'm the only one exporting this fruit from them right now, and nobody's really exported it for decades. So they don't, you know, the farmers really don't understand where it's going and what it's used for. And, you know, I'm trying as my best I can to really, you know, strengthen my relationships with the farmers. So what we're doing is we're going to start building schools within the communities from where we source our pitaya from. So basically, you know, it costs on average about $30,000 to build a school in Nicaragua. We'll work with the community directors, and we'll get the whole community involved. And so we're going to split the cost of it. My company, Pitaya Plus, will pick up about 50% of the project. And then we're also partnering with some students at University of California, San Diego, that will help raise some capital, the other half. And those students will also go down and help build the school. So as far as the five-year plan, you know, I hope that we're building, you know, a new school in each one of these communities every year. And, you know, we're making, you know, beyond supporting the single mothers and building a nice environmentally friendly factory, you know, there's something even more tangible that, you know, every one of these farmers can pass on the way to work and see some good things that we're actually doing. And this is nothing that anybody has offered to do before down there. And I have a lot of hopes for it. The good news is that we're, you know, with this company, our organization, Build On, who has a lot of experience in it. I mean, I think they've built somewhere in the area about 40, 50 schools in the northern part of Nicaragua. So part of my trip in July, I'll be visiting some of these schools just to make sure that they're okay and they're continued running. What I understand is that Nicaragua has the capital to keep this, keep the schools running, which is huge. It's just that we we actually have to invest in, you know, we need to provide the infrastructure, and then they can provide the teachers and everything like that.
Ah, okay. And I'm just wondering momentarily while we're talking, because you've been in Nicaragua, as someone would be considering investing, it'd be nice to know a little bit more about the political and economic stability in the country. You spoke earlier of the 80s and a decimation of the male population, leaving all these single moms. What's it looking like now?
So, I mean, one good thing about Nicaragua is, you know, it's the safest country in Central America. You know, and I think a lot of my motivation to do this project is because of how nice the people were. You know, they let me into their homes, and I don't think I'd be as motivated or as inclined to go ahead or move forward with a project like this if I didn't really believe in the people. And they're just absolutely amazing. And, you know, you look around, they're the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere behind Haiti. And, you know, there's the majority of the population lives on $100 of income per month. So it's really extreme poverty. But, you know, I never felt threatened, never felt, you know, in danger, felt it was ever in a bad situation. You know, they're just, it's just a very great, you know, people down there. As far as a conversation on the political situation, that's probably like a 3-week, 6-hour part series show. So.
Oh, okay.
But I, you know, just currently, you know, whether it's good or bad, right now there is Daniel Ortega, who helped, you know, overthrow the dictatorship, you know, and fought for freedom of the people, is now in charge, and you know, not doing everything that he claimed to be wanted, standing for. You know, it's, as soon as you give someone power, it kind of goes to their head. You know, I'll put a footnote on that to say that, you know, I am not Nicaraguan. I don't have any Nicaraguan family. You know, I'm definitely not an expert to be talking on this. But it's, as far as foreign investment, they are welcoming it only because they have had so many people pull out over the last couple of years. You know, the theory is, or there's a strong belief that Ortega took power in the recent election on electoral fraud. And that has led the U.S. to start backing out a lot of funding down there. And right now, Ortega is getting, you know, is best friends with Chavez in Venezuela, and Chavez is strongly supporting Ortega right now. They're building one of the only oil refineries in Central America right in Nicaragua, and, you know, further strengthening their bonds right now. So it's not ideal. But, you know, the communities that I work in, you know, I feel fine. You know, I think, you know, the people themselves, the people that I work with, are extremely welcoming to people that are coming in there and offering to, you know, provide new opportunities. So, and I think at a ground level, we have a lot of support there, which I think is important.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good, because it's nice to get a feeling, and I don't know what your relationship is, if there's a bunch of licensing or government things, because investors would like to think that when a major industry develops out of this that is helping education of the kids in Nicaragua, helping the single moms, that's something that you continue to have versus something that the government takes over.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't see the threat right now. I mean, I think the government down there has, you know, larger opportunities that they're looking at. We're still such in our infancy. Some good positive things about working down there is, if we were just exporting the fruit, like, completely fresh, you know, not doing anything to it down there, we'd have to pay, like, an export or a sales tax on there. But because we have our own facility down there where we process the fruit and we employ Nicaraguans, we don't pay any sales or export taxes. And additionally, because of CAFTA, the Central America Free Trade Agreement, we're not paying any import taxes into the U.S. So we've avoided a lot of taxes with Nicaragua, which is great. And, you know, we're doing everything on the up and up. And this is, you know, this is how it should be working.
Yeah. Ah, see, this is music to my ears and to, you know, potential investors to understand, you know, and just people that are interested to know, wow, when you hear some of the corporate stories that are so scary, here's an example of social responsibility and stable business, international business, and how you can do it in a way that brings a profit and helps both countries at the same time. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the idea since day one. I think for me, sustainability is building something with, you know, benefits for everybody involved. And that's the only way things will last.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, this is great. Now, I'm wondering, too, I see on your website there's a posting about Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it'd be nice to see him riding a, or have a pitaya, I guess, taped to him somewhere, but I don't know. We don't have that. It's just him in a bike helmet. Can you share a little bit about him? And it mentions this name, dragon fruit.
Yeah. So dragon fruit and pitaya are basically one and the same. I think it's worth noting or explaining what this is. So the earliest forms and origins of this fruit can all be traced back to Central America. And so what happened was, you know, French missionaries at one point brought the pitaya over to Asia, and when it was in Asia, it wasn't very popular. So the Asians made up this story about fire-breathing dragons and all this stuff and kind of changed the name into dragon fruit. But the original name, everything, you know, where it can be traced back to is pitaya. You know, nobody in Nicaragua calls this fruit dragon fruit. Everybody refers it to as pitaya.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there in northern Mexico, there's some people call it pitahaya. But one other major difference is I should know this, but I don't know this, but there's also a lot more varieties in Asia of dragon fruit. And sometimes, you know, you can find this dragon fruit in Asian markets all throughout the U.S., and when you cut them open, they're white in the middle. And the white, you know, they're very bland and there's not a lot of nutrients.
Wow.
All the ones that we source from Nicaragua are like, when you cut them open, they're like this deep red magenta and there's some flavor and some good nutrients in there as well. So there is some difference. There's the white ones don't even exist in Nicaragua. I'm not really even sure how, you know, whether it was like the species changed along the way or anything like that. But the red ones are the ones you want to be eating.
Oh, okay. See, that's really important because I know myself, my listeners, we go out there, and as this gains in popularity, just like anything, there starts to be a bunch of lookalikes, and if a person doesn't know, then it's like, oh, okay, well, this must be the same. And one of the interesting things that you may or may not have heard, because this will tie right into something important about pitaya, the Roman generals, ancient Roman generals, they discovered as they would march their armies that if they could get food that was the grains grown in the Nile Valley, that those the foods that they got from those grains grown in the Nile Valley, they were much more nutritious and they could march their soldiers further and fight better with them than in other places. And this goes back to a time where everything was basically organic farming. There wasn't chemicals, but the difference being that periodically the Nile Valley volcanically that would erupt, and they would get remineralization of the soil. And so
yeah.
this was so important back in Roman times. And what I'd like to know is, how does this tie into the pitaya that you have there in Nicaragua?
I mean, I'm not really sure how.
Oh,
know,
okay.
Maybe I didn't
well,
my,
forgive me. What I was looking at was, if I'm understanding, the pitaya fruit is found along the nutrient-rich volcanic mountainsides, and so that is just a powerful way. You get the rains, you get the remineralization of the soil on a regular basis. Is that
the places that it's growing are extremely fertile. We work with a lot of the farmers to take care of their organic certifications. We've just in the last year gotten 17 of our producers organically certified. So we'll have the only certified organic pitaya in Central and South America coming up for this crop. And, you know, one good thing, you know, a benefit of working in, you know, the third world country is that, you know, it really is like the ancient Romans you talk about. There was not a lot of, you know, people can't afford pesticides to put, you know, to spray all over the place. So the organic certifications that we were able to take care of were relatively simple because, you know, there's been nothing sprayed on these fields for, you know, decades. So we were able to get some people to come in, do some soil tests, and realize that there's nothing in there and get our certifications pretty quickly.
Yeah, so when you talk about something that's nutrient-rich, and that's basically, I hope my listeners would understand that just because something is certified organic, sure, it can be organic because it doesn't have chemicals, pesticides, but that doesn't tell you how nutrient-dense the soil is. And what our dear friend Chuck is bringing us with the pitaya is something that is incredibly nutrient-rich because of the grown on the volcanic mountainsides that gets this wonderful dense mineralization and nutrient input into the soil. And that's really key to not only organic, but, I mean, incredibly nutrient-dense.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, it's extremely, extremely fertile where we're getting our where we're sourcing our pitayas from.
Yeah, and that means that there's more nutrients that get transferred into the fruit that get transferred to us, and of course the transfer process is pretty darn tasty, if you ask me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a, you contrast that with a picture of someone, and this, of course, when I think of Lance Armstrong, it brings up athletics and all these people dealing with dehydration or loss of electrolytes, and I can't help but think. Go ahead.
So to go back to your question about Lance Armstrong being on our website, so. This is something that we just reposted from Lance's site, livestrong.com. And on livestrong.com, he offers a bunch of nutritional information and help. And, you know, we were on there one day and came across what he was recommending for dragon fruit and pitaya. And it was great. It was, you know, so it was such a nice thing and exactly what we want to be telling customers about the value of pitaya that we reposted it on our website. So, what we have on our website is basically a link to his site, which him is, you know, talking independently about the fruit and how good it is for you.
Ah, yeah, and I can imagine you folks getting connected to some Ironman or different major competitions, because I don't know, you probably have more research into this than I do, but from what I'm understanding about this item, my gosh, with the low glycemic index and all the nutrients, in it. I don't know that there's anything better that an athlete would want if he was in a running a marathon or biking, 100 miles or whatever they do in some of these different competitions. So anyway, that's just me over here having a happy thought about what you've brought us, Chuck.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we have some people. If you go to our Facebook page, we gave Bree Lambert, who is an ultramarathoner, very famous ultramarathoner, who runs, 100-mile marathons, a couple cases, and we're waiting for feedback from her. And she was, interested from it just because of the low glycemic index and the coconut water as well.
Yeah. Wow. What
yeah.
A thrill. This is just great. Folks, now, and the website again that people can go learn more about this?
PitayaPlus.com. So P like Peter, I-T-A-Y-A, and then plus written out, PLUS.com.
Okay. And if you're not in Colorado, California, Boston, or Philadelphia, you can get in touch with the Pitaya people and go to your local merchants and absolutely demand they get some.
We also sell it online. Definitely cheaper because of ship. It's not a cheap thing to ship things, ship juice. But if you're not near Whole Foods, we can ship it out to you as well.
Oh, and does it come when you ship it? Does it need to be refrigerated when it's not open, or?
Yeah, it can travel a day or two unrefrigerated, so it's all right.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then you want to keep it refrigerated after that?
Yeah, I mean, also for a taste thing. I think the colder it is, the better it tastes.
Okay, that's good. All right. Wow. Jeez, I love it. This is great. And if you would, if you have some advice for any entrepreneurs starting out, that would be kind of fun to share.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really just have to have your heart behind it, and just plan on it being your life and being at everything that you do. And you're going to be talking about it. You can't be shy. You have to talk about it to everyone. Some of the biggest breaks I have had are just through networking and people telling me, you're doing this. I have a friend who's doing this. You should call him. And, never turn down an offer to be introduced to someone. Just get something, get behind something that you want to be doing for a while.
Okay, cool. Well, that's important. And, I don't know if you would perhaps name a few of your favorite highlights of this project, if we haven't already shared those.
Yeah, I think I have a couple of special days, and the one of them that always rings out is, when we actually processed the fruit, and it was loaded up in a frozen 18-wheeler, and it was on its way to the U.S., And to me, that was just such an obstacle to get over. Seeing that 18-wheeler there and packing it up and knowing that, we'd made it this far and we were going to go into production. Things are actually going to start moving forward. Another day recently, I didn't know this, but my partner down in Nicaragua, we have a campaign. To bring light and bring, some exposure to the single mothers that we're supporting. We have these T-shirts that say, I support super moms. We've called these women our super moms who help us out. And I gave my partner in Nicaragua a bunch of shirts and hats and everything like that. And not telling me, when we went to meet with the farmers who we got organically certified, I show up and there's all these, producers and farmers wearing these supermom T-shirts, and it was just one of my amazing feelings. And I think another small feeling is when you're walking through Whole Foods and you just see somebody that you have no idea who it is, and they've got your product in their cart, and it's just and they're going to the checkout line. I never really thought that day would come, and those were some kind of a special moments to me.
Yeah. Ah, well, this is just fabulous. I so appreciate, Chuck, that you've taken time to share with us today not only a wonderful nutritional thing that we need to be looking for and drinking and getting an experience of, whether we're dealing with a diabetic condition, which so many Americans are, or just want to, if you're an athlete, or just want something, a nutritious, delicious drink that is at the top of the chart and what it can do for you, and then what you're doing for as an example of how to combine resources, go into a situation and think about how to put things together to help a lot of people. And so there you are, hiring the single moms and supporting the educational system with your partners at Build On. This is exquisite.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's just been a really great project for me all around.
Well, thank you so much. We just wish you all the best, and want to thank you for taking time to share this with our listeners, because we absolutely gotta have more good things in our lives to help us if we're gonna make our lives blossom. So, Chuck, I just want to thank you and just wish you all the best as we wrap up our show today. And any last words to share as we?
No, just a thank you to you and helping me bring some, you know, exposure to the project and who we're trying to support, and I really appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions, I answer every email that comes through PattayaPlus.com, and more than happy to talk to anyone.
Okay, and that email address is?
It's just contact@PattayaPlus, and so if you just go to PattayaPlus.com and send in an email, I'll certainly get it.
Okay, fantastic. All right, thank you, Chuck. You take care, dear friend, and beloved listeners, God, thank you for tuning in. Every week we'll bring you more goodness. And until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.